The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, June 24th, 2012, for those listening live and whatever other time it might be if you're listening to the recording. Welcome aboard. I am so happy to be here today. And I want to start, before we even do the connections, by thanking all of you who co-created and supported what was done this week, this past week, down in Washington, D.C. I must say that when I opened up on Wednesday, on the solstice, to connect with all of the support that was there, all of you who were co-creating with me to close that wormhole, that portal, that gateway, whatever you want to call it, it took me a little bit to be able to ground all of the energy that came in. It was that powerful. I'm used to working with large energies when I'm working in groups, and this just literally blew me away. So thank you one and all for that. And all right, so let's open up the connections, shall we? And as always, we are here to connect with our own mastery, to bring that forward. So let's start there and open in whatever way works best for you to connect to your divinity and to your power and to your mastery. So allow yourself to just breathe into that, to relax into that, because that's the truth of who you are. And so as we go within to allow that connection, what we're really doing is letting go of some layers of our protection, some layers of our doubt, some layers of our self-judgment. So as we go in, it's really a letting go of what's most of the time in the way of us perceiving that deeper truth of ourselves, of experiencing it. And so again, just let yourself today perhaps give that permission to just shed a little bit more of the limited beliefs you have about yourself, the beliefs that you might have that you are not divine, that you are less than already perfect. And just let those fall away as you open up into more of that eternal, internal essence that you are. And just take a few more breaths with that. Wonderful. And so let's make the next connection. And, well, I'll just toss this in here anyway because it came up. Again, when I was there Wednesday and opening up, I use this process when I do a lot of my work now, connecting to the divinity within first and then going down to Mother Earth. And the energy pouring up from her made it very clear that although it was the Ascended Masters who brought this work to my attention, it was Mother Earth who was prompting it. It was her call. It was her saying, it's time to do this. It's time to make this change, and that just poured up. So, she really is there connecting with us all the time and supporting what we're doing and guiding us as well. So at this time, open up the root chakra, the chakras in your feet, the cells of your body, any way that you feel right about doing it in this moment, and just allow yourself to receive her support, her energy coming up into you. And just breathe that up, her love and support. And as you do that, open as well to give her back, to give to her your love and support and gratitude. Not because she's giving you anything in particular, but without her, we couldn't even be here. We wouldn't be able to have bodies without her. And so just connect with that. Connect with that. Everything that she gives us is literally everything we're experiencing here, the opportunity to experience it. And so let that open up and let that gratitude flow back and feel the increase in what we allow ourselves to receive when we do that giving as well. All right. And once more, opening up to another level of experience, another level of reality, and this time to our guides and angels, the ascended masters, the other spiritual teachers and mentors that we have around us all the time, that as with our connection to the Mother Earth, our own belief in separation, our own experience and judgment of ourselves, our sense of unworthiness blocks these connections to a greater or lesser degree most of the time. And so, again, opening up here is about letting go of some of those blocks, some of those protections, so that we can allow ourselves to receive that support and love from our guides and angels. So, again, just open whatever way works best for you, your heart, your solar plexus, your third eye, your crown, any other placement within you that feels good to do that, and let yourself receive that love and support that is there ready and waiting for you all of the time. And now is a perfect time to accept it, to let yourself experience it, to let yourself bring it forward more fully. And again, as with the Mother Earth, allow yourself to open the doorways to let your gratitude come forth. Your thanks for that support that they're offering. And again, they're offering it all the time, regardless of what we give back or how much time or attention we give to them. They're there. But the more we open up to give back, the more we give that gratitude back, the more we offer our love to them, our support to them, the more we open to receive what they are giving to us. Because when we're giving back, in order to give back, we have to accept what we're receiving. We can only give what we already have. So every time we step into that space of giving, we're accepting what we're receiving more fully. And that opens us to receive even more. And so, again, to whatever degree you feel it, allow it to occur. Allow yourself to be in that cycle, that flow. All right, wonderful. And again, let's open up to this community, the community of exposing the masters within. All those who are here listening live as we're co-creating this, all those who will listen to the recording, we're all here in the energies together creating it. Whether we're hearing it live or not is not the relevant point. And so open up to connect with this community to the greatest degree you're ready, to the greatest degree you're willing to open to receive another level of support in your life. And allow yourself to breathe that in, to receive that support of this shared intention, this intention to open up our mastery, to rip the Band-Aid off of our old pain so that we can bring forth the beauty, the new flesh of our divinity. And once more, allow the gratitude to flow back out. It is in the gratitude for this community that we support each other, as well as in that shared intention. And so as we allow the gratitude to go back out to each other, again, it opens the door to allow more of that flow, more of that energy coming in. All right. And let's open up the doorway even wider out to all of the light workers, both the conscious and the unconscious. All of us on the planet in human form, we are at least unconscious light workers, but the conscious ones as well are those who are stepping forward. They have the intention, the desire to come into their divinity, to come into their mastery, and indeed to support others in doing the same thing. And so we have that level, the conscious light workers, and then we have everybody who's in a body who is down here playing with these energies, playing with the light, and eventually we'll reawaken into being conscious light workers. And so the more we open up to that whole picture, the more support of the shared intention we get, the more support as well we get of well, I don't want to put it in the misery loves company kind of way, but the more support we get from being in the same boat, even those who are not consciously stepping on this path of empowerment right now are in the experiences down here of separation. And even if they're not yet ready to know their mastery or even to know about that there's a pathway to walk back to mastery, they are still in that energy of seeking for things to be better in their lives. And that level of shared intention, we can connect with everyone on the planet. Everyone desires things to get better. No matter how good they are, no matter how bad they are, we are all seeking that in some way or another. And so it's opening up even to that level of shared intention. And once more, as we receive that support, as we receive that energy of the shared intention, allow the gratitude to come up and to flow back out. And remember, this is coming not from our personal energy stores, but from our divine energy stores. As we're doing this, as we're opening to that gratitude, we're opening up into our divinity more fully. So by allowing that gratitude to go out, not only are we opening to receive more of that support in this connection, in these connections to the other light workers, we're also opening to receive more of the connection to our divine support. We're also opening up to receive more of that connection from the Mother Earth, and right down to the core, we're opening up to receive more of that connection to our own divinity. And so again, just allow yourself at this moment to breathe this in as fully as you can. Let yourself feel these flows, because they're all here. They're all going to stay. I'm going to stop talking about them in a moment, but they're going to continue throughout this, throughout our time together. And they're, again, always there. They're always available. So you can come back to these anytime you want. It doesn't have to be just when we're connecting directly in this way. This support is always here. And that brings me out of making the connections and into talking about the connections. And one of the greatest tools that we have in walking this path of conscious empowerment, of self-mastery, etc., is to make the choice to connect beyond what we're connecting with in a given moment. Because if we simply allow our experiences that we've had in the past to choose or to be the only source of how we make our choices into the future, then we're going to keep creating the same thing over and over again. And that's not what we're seeking. That's not what this path is about. This path is about expanding. It's about creating something that we have not experienced before, or expanding something we have experienced to a greater degree. Every time when we start this program, every time when we make these connections, I can feel those energies opening up and can feel the flow of those supports. And the more we've done this, the more I can feel it. And hopefully that's true for each of you out there who co-creates this with me every week. But that is such a gift to be able to have the conscious idea even to choose something better. It's one thing when I was just speaking about the unconscious light workers, the part of humanity that is not on a conscious spiritual path. They still have that desire for things to get better. But this difference, this awareness, not just of the desire for things to get better, but of the awareness that we can make choices to move into making them better. That idea, to me, is miraculous. It's miraculous. And it's an aspect perhaps of self-awareness. What separates us from the animals, so to speak. Although I've seen certain animals make some very conscious choices. Cats, dogs, even birds, etc. And so I don't know that I buy the conventional wisdom about the complete uniqueness of human self-awareness. But whether we make that comparison or not with the rest of the beings on the planet, I would say the degree of awareness that we have is a tremendous gift and an opportunity. And it's not an opportunity that we always take advantage of. At least I don't. I can't say I come close to always taking advantage of it. And this actually brings me to the actual core of today's topic. And that topic is the topic of fear. Now, we did good and evil last week a little bit. We're going to talk fear this week. I guess maybe this is a series where we get into the big issues. and I've been doing a lot of reading. It's something that I typically do. Happened to come across a whole segment about fear in the past couple of days. I've had a number of conversations of late where it's not that the topic of fear came up as something theoretical, but it was brought up as something that was being experienced and some very different circumstances. One, which I found very interesting when it was brought up, and I must admit before I go much further with this, the topic that was brought up was a movie that is now out on the internet called Thrive, which I've received countless emails over the last several months since it has been released suggesting that I go watch it or whatever. For whatever reason, I have not yet seen it. And so I want to put that out there. But what was presented to me in this conversation it was someone trying to talk me into watching the movie. And I can't say that I'm against watching the movie, although perhaps I'm a little more resistant to it now that I have a little clearer picture of what at least what this person says it's about. Perhaps it's an obligation that I do need to go watch it. I don't know. We'll see. But what I was told, and this was, again, granted, being told to me by someone who also hadn't watched it. She was trying to find out if I had watched it to get my opinion of it, even as she was suggesting that I go watch it when she found out I hadn't seen it yet. But what she said was that there was all of this information in there about how the government is controlling us and how there are these five families that are named in the movie who are actually controlling all the governments. They control everything that takes place on the planet. And I was listening to her, but was one of those one of those split mind kind of things where I'm actually listening to what she's saying, but my own mental chatter is going on the side. And what it was chattering about was how much this supposedly spiritual movie, and again, I've not seen it, so I don't know the entire focus of it. I know what was presented to me. this supposedly spiritual movie that is about helping us move forward into our empowerment has as a core message in it this extremely fear-inducing, disempowering thesis. And thesis meaning theory. I don't know to what degree our government or any government on the planet is doing things to control us with any degree of consciousness. Now, I don't even like talking about things that way, saying the government. There might be certain people in the government who do certain things that might be controlling or trying to get us to behave in certain ways. certainly an example of that to me that seemed very clear was as we were going into the 2004 election, how much the drum of fear was being beaten by the Republicans to attempt to retain the White House. That was my personal perspective. That certainly seemed to be what was going on. And based on polls, if you believe those at all, that certainly was how that election turned out. It was based on people voting based on fear, at least large numbers of them. And so I'm not saying that it's not possible that it can happen, that the government either overtly or covertly is attempting to control. And again, when I say the government there, I mean certain people within it, not everyone in the government. And who knows? It could even be that there are five families who are controlling large circumstances across the planet. I don't know. What I do know is this. Whatever degree I focus on that, and especially focus on it within the energy of fear, that's the degree to which I'm putting energy into, first and foremost, maintaining the status quo, maintaining those people, either in the government or those five families, maintaining whatever control they actually do have, and actually amplifying whatever power they have. Because the laws of energy are like the law of gravity. They simply operate. We may not understand how they operate, but the more we understand how the laws work, the more we can make conscious choices about how much we desire to participate in a certain experience and how much we choose to take our energy out of that experience. And so for me, in this particular example, that's not something I tend to choose to focus on. My response, and I'm going to share it not because it was brilliant, but simply because it's what came out of my mouth, and it is what I believe, is that I choose to focus on changes I can actually make. There is nothing I can do in this moment as an individual to go into the government and root out anybody who might be attempting to covertly control my actions. I can't go hunt down the members of those five families and get them to promise to stop doing whatever they're doing or make them stop doing it. I simply can't do that. What I can do is seek to make the next choice that I have to move into a greater degree of my empowerment. And I would suggest that is the core of walking this path of empowerment. It's not to turn our backs on things where we actually can make a choice to make a difference in a larger sense. But it is understanding, again, one of the basic laws of energy. Whatever we focus on, we send energy to, and we amplify. We amplify. Now, perhaps this movie Thrive, which I have not seen, and I guess I need to do that. So I can talk more concretely about it, more intelligently about it, if it's something I need to talk about. But I don't know their underlying agenda. Maybe it was about empowerment. Maybe it was putting that forth, that information forth, so people would make conscious choices to make change. I don't know. But I would say that that is our opportunity and our responsibility. And I don't say responsibility putting a weight on your shoulders. I say responsibility at its very core, the meaning of it, the combination of the word respond and or response and ability, meaning our ability to respond to a situation, not react to it. Reaction is the immediate. It's the visceral. It's the emotional. Response is choice. At least that's how I'm using those terms. And I personally think it's a very useful distinction. My first reaction is not necessarily going to be my chosen response. It's not necessarily going to be how I would continue to focus on something. So that brings me to another way to talk about this. One of the books I have been reading lately, and where I said earlier there was a whole segment on fear, is a book called Zen and the Art of Making a Living. And this is a book that is biblical in scope. Not that it talks about the Bible, but it's really, really long. And yet I have found a lot in there that I really do resonate with, that I really do like. And one of the things that I read just earlier today talked about how we can respond to the world. And I am not going to do justice to what or how it was exactly said. I'm pretty sure of that. But I'll give you my 10-cent summary of this particular piece. And the particular piece that I'm referring to is how we deal with the world at large. And that the world at large is essentially an agreement. Now, we have multiple cultures with multiple agreements, and the agreements clash at times, which is why, well, one of the underlying reasons that we have difficulties with other countries or other religions or other races, etc. It's not just about the surface things. It's about an underlying different set of agreements. And what does that mean? Well, for instance, and this is an example that's given in there, we have an agreement that X, Y, or Z is the law in a given country. And yet, in order to make that enforceable, we have to agree that it's enforceable. For instance, again, the simple example they gave in the book is the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, or whatever speed limit. Essentially is unenforceable. Now, do they give out speeding tickets? Yes, I can attest to that. but if you have done any driving on any, pretty much any highway or any road even, what you realize is that, quite frankly, the agreement that we have is that this particular speed limit perhaps one exception in our culture might be in a school zone where they really cut it down very low, 20 miles an hour or whatever. But most speed limits, the actual speed limit in that area is at least 5 to 10 miles an hour over. Sometimes it's much higher than that. In other words, the police won't give a ticket unless you're going at least 10 miles over the posted speed limit. Why is that? Because there are too many people who are not following it. Because they don't agree to it. They're not buying into it. And yet, most people do stay within that unwritten range, 10 miles an hour over, for instance, on a lot of the interstates, or 15, or whatever it is. We do tend to go with the flow, even people who are not necessarily lawbreakers will speed often. Not everyone. There are those who follow it to the letter of the law. And neither good nor bad. they're following the rules as they see fit. But here's the thing, and it's an interesting point and one that I absolutely agree with. Our social constructs, our agreements, and, well, there's certain ways we can deal with it. One is we can just go along, for the most part, with those contracts, with those agreements. And it's not a very empowered way to live. What we're looking to is our social network to tell us what's appropriate, or our cultural network. Well, one good example that I like to look at is, and it's not unique to Republicans or conservatives, but I think often they step up and use it a lot more loudly. In this particular example, definitely, but it's not unique to one side of the political spectrum. And that is, in this particular example, patriotism. If you disagree with their position, they're going to call you un-American. And, well, this brings us back around to fear. This brings us back around to fear. Fear of what? Fear of being shamed. Fear of being outcast. Recently I read, and I think I did share this in one of the other shows, in a completely different book, that before our communities got as large as they are now, cities and city-states and things like that, back when it was smaller communities, still communities, but smaller, the harshest punishment, at least in this theory, was not even death or imprisonment. It was banishment. It was being thrown out. It was being cut off from our connections. Now, from a spiritual perspective, I look at that and I go, well, what, why? Why? What is that? Because that is, it's not just this experience of separation that we are living down here to a degree anyway, but it is that separation being thrown in our face actively. For instance, it's one thing to have, what's happened lots of times, a natural disaster wipes out a village and there's a survivor, or a war or a plague or whatever. And so someone is cut off from their community because that community is wiped out. It's a very different thing for that community to get together and ostracize you and to say you no longer belong. And it is putting that experience of separation right in our face, right in our face. And so that actually is a lot of what is used in this social control, the energy of shame, the energy of our fear of our separation. And so that's one way to approach it. We approach these rules that society has set forth, and we say, okay, I'm going to play along. Another way is to reject it completely and fight it. Fight it, fight it, fight it. And so, well, pick a culture, pick a topic, and find an activist. And that's what you have. You have someone who is actively rejecting one or more of the agreed upon cultural paradigms. But they're not just doing it in such a way as to say, I'm not going to live that way. But they're fighting with it. Now, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier. Whatever we focus energy on, we are actually feeding. And that's something that, and I don't know where the idea first came from. It probably came out of a channeling that I did to me, for me. But I definitely agree with this, and it makes sense to me that, well, for instance, the war on drugs, not that that's a protest kind of situation, but the war on drugs is never going to be won because it perpetuates and expands the so-called drug problem, because it's focusing all this intense energy, this intense judgment on it. And so it continues to perpetuate it. But let's talk about something that is more in protest. Although that's a protest of a rejection of the cultural paradigm. If the cultural paradigm says don't do drugs, then the war on drugs is a rejection of that rejection. And it goes back and forth. But let's talk about perhaps some of the environmental freedom fighters, so to speak, who are trying to shut down the big corporations and all of this. And they go protest and they go protest and they go protest and they go protest. And in many cases, the problems don't get better. Perhaps they even get worse. Now, we say, oh, well, what about the expanding the awareness so people can make better choices? Well, okay, perhaps that is what is going to be the ultimate outcome. But in the short term, definitely, it is making those things worse because the energetic law is impersonal. And the energetic law says whatever you focus on, you expand. You increase. And especially, well, not the best way to say it perhaps, but the more emotion you have in what you are focusing on, the more energy you are feeding it. Now, why is that important? Well, because protesters, what are they doing? They are expressing and focusing tremendous amounts of energy, tremendous amount. They get all worked up. Anger, fear, whatever it is, they're getting all worked up and focusing energy on that thing that they don't want. And literally, from an energetic perspective, feeding the monster. Whatever it is that they are demonizing, whatever it is that they are seeing as the problem, they're actually making it larger by feeding it their fear, by feeding it their anger, by feeding it their frustration. So take a deep breath, couple of deep breaths, and let's clear some of that energy out. Because it's not my intention to go off on protesters or anything else here today. It's simply about pointing out some of these pieces of how fear brings things to pass. How fear energizes things, the very things that we don't want to energize. Well, what is fear at its core? Well, if you've done much on the spiritual path, you've probably heard the old acronym, where with fear as the acronym representing false evidence appearing real. Well, that's very mental. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying it's very mental. Doesn't have a lot of energy in it. I like what they gave me in channeling one day. And if you don't like profanity, cover your ears. But the definition they gave of fear, the acronym they gave for fear was fuck everything and run. Now, fear, most of us know from scientific study, is embedded in this thing called the fight or flight response. Now, I've also heard it talked about in another way, fight, flight, or freeze. And I like that. I like that because in many cases, in what I see, both in myself and in others, what we're afraid of isn't something we can fight. Now, that's that protest energy. That's that go out. But again, it's not necessarily at a level where us putting that fight energy to work is actually going to make any change. Because our frustrations, the things we fear, are not necessarily, and I'm not saying they're not all, ultimately they are all personal, but they're not necessarily personal in the sense that we are not afraid of particular other people all the time. We're afraid of bigger things than that. We're afraid that the government is controlling us. We're afraid of those five families. Or another conversation that came up, someone, and again, this is not unique to a given individual, but was expressing how this article in a magazine, and not a woo-woo magazine, Smithsonian, about solar flares and the possibility that they could wipe out the entire electrical structure. And this was a scientific look at things. It wasn't someone channeling, oh my God, it could all be wiped out. This was the scientific perspective that it could just be blistered and blasted and destroyed. And very personal fears coming up in relation to that. Well, understandable. Understandable. And the question in all of these circumstances, in any place where fear is coming up, is what do we do with it? What do we do with the fear when it comes up? Well, our first response, that visceral one, fuck everything and run. Get me out of here. We can't necessarily. We can't run away from solar flares. We can't get off the planet. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. We have nothing we can do about it to stop it in a physical way. Now, take a deep breath. I'm not bringing this up because I want to induce fear, but it might be inducing fear out there. But what can we do? Well, first thing, let's go back. Not from this program, but multiple other programs, multiple other times, to this law of energy. If it's up and it's negative, it is up to be cleared. So if fear is coming up, the first step to dealing with it, after we're aware, oh, I'm in fear, I'm feeling fear right now, is, oh, I choose to move that fear. I choose to express it somehow, to get it out of me, not to prolong it, not to vent it. And in these conversations I brought up, the people were not necessarily saying that they were focusing on the fear and amplifying it. And so that's the first step, is to move it, is to move it. And, well, what comes after that? What comes after that? Well, what's the alternate reality that we would choose to create? In other words, if whatever we focus on we're sending energy to, all right, then if it's about fear that has come up around government or these five families controlling us, then where can I send my energy that I'm stepping into my power to create a world where that's not a problem for me? Again, not that I know that it's a problem for me right now, and maybe that's just my ignorance, but what can I do to create a world in which I have my power, in which they don't have power over me? Well, envision that very thing. A world in which I have the freedom and the power and the awareness to use my free will in every aspect of my life. And to breathe into how that feels, to amplify that energy. So take a moment, maybe breathe into that. How does it feel to have free will in creating, in choosing, in every single area of your life? Now, that is not rejecting the other paradigm by fighting with it. It's stepping outside of it. Remember, that paradigm is by agreement. It's a cultural agreement. But there are other cultures that don't agree with that paradigm. There are indigenous cultures out there somewhere that are still not about consumerism, one of the things that is one of our culturally agreed upon programs. And so if they exist out there, then they... Well, this cultural paradigm is not the only one. It's not the only one, which anyone listening to me would already have that perspective, I would imagine. We're here about being able to step into making better choices, more empowered choices, more conscious choices. That's what exposing the mastery is about. And again, let's look at the one with the sunspots. Or the solar flares, or whatever that might create, whatever havoc that could create on planet Earth. And how do we do that? Well, first, again, we move the fear. And then we go to, well, what's the vision of reality that I would choose to create? that communication is uninterrupted, that communication is smooth, that I am always able to communicate with those that I love, with those that I... Thank you, train, for emphasizing that. That I would always be able to have that connection. Now, that's interesting, because that also opens other possibilities. Possibilities that I believe we're moving toward anyway, where our connections are not dependent upon our electronics, where our connections are opening up into more ESP, more telepathy, etc. Where, who knows? Perhaps if the electrical grid or other things go down and some of our communication dependence gets wiped out, who knows what that would open up in us as a species now that our expectation is for this level of connectedness. Maybe it would create the thing that would free us to 100th monkey jump over into a very, very different way of experiencing the world. Now, I'm not saying that that's what would happen, and I'm not putting out, well, envision the solar, the grid going down because of solar flares. But I am saying, as we put forth these alternate visions for ourselves, what we are creating, well, what we are creating, and that's part of the power of community, why we connect at the beginning the way that we do. As we come together and create new agreements, now, theoretically, hopefully, it certainly is my intention that what we're bringing forth, what we're co-creating in these programs is closer to the underlying truth of reality, that which is co-creative, that which is empowered, that which is about us in our value, in our worth as divine beings, creating out of that worth consciously, rather than trying to hold on to these culturally described or defined values. But what we're doing is we're not fighting against, I'm not fighting actively against the predominant culture. I'm seeking to live an alternate culture, a counterculture, not counter in the sense of fighting with actively, but in some ways off the radar. For instance, the channeling that I did, and this goes back to what I spoke of last week, the channeling I did where it talked about the demons happened 14, 15 years ago. Probably somewhere in that range. I've shared that with very few people over the years. Now, after I got the guidance in December to go close these demonic portals, and if you didn't hear last week's show, then this is not going to make sense to you necessarily. After I got that guidance in December, I shared that information with a number of people. And everyone I felt safe enough to share it with, it made sense to. It connected for them. It explained something. Not that they were actively seeking that explanation, although a couple of them I shared it with because they were having experiences that were getting labeled in that way as demonic. But that connected. And so that was an expanding mass consciousness. It started with myself and those at that first channeling. It expanded out through the people I shared it with through the years. It expanded out further when I got the guidance to go do that. And then what happens? I had no intention last Sunday to be sharing details of what I was going to be doing on the solstice and closing that demonic portal with you in the program. That was not my conscious intention when I woke up on Sunday morning. And yet it was there. It was there to do. Now, why was it not my intention? Because even though I have a tremendous amount of trust for those of you who are here listening to me week in, week out, and connecting with, and I can feel the support, there is still a part of me, and this comes from multiple levels. It's clearing up, obviously. But there is a part that I have been afraid to put forth my work too clearly out in the world or too universally. It's been one of the things I've been dealing with as I attempt to put forth more of my work out in the world, and I attempt to put it forth more widely. I was very blessed when this work opened up for me. It was not long after I started channeling that I had these miraculous experiences with this group in Egypt that caused other individuals to start inviting me around the country to offer this work. But that was it. It was this one-on-one thing, one-on-one, passing me from one person to another. Oh, I got great value from this guy's work, so you might. And I trust you enough to talk about channeling, so that might be someone that John could feel comfortable trusting. And so that's how my work grew, one-on-one-on-one. It's a whole nother thing for me to put this out on the internet, where anyone who's Googling, whether they have a positive belief about channeling or anything else that I might do or not, could find it. And so I've been working with that. And that was there when this idea for these closing these portals, when that guidance came in, I was like, you know what? I'm not just going to share that with anyone and everyone. Even though to me and to most people I've shared it with directly, obviously I've not spoken to everyone who heard that last week, but those I've spoken to directly and shared it directly have been, wow, that makes sense. And so where was this fear coming from? Well, it wasn't coming from not distrusting you. It was coming from my own experiences of I share myself and then I get smacked. The world smacks me. Someone judges me. Someone banishes me. Someone looks down on me. And I don't know to what degree you might have had those kinds of experiences, to what degree you have lived your life looking for other people's approval, needing it. It's in all of us. It's programmed there in terms of this pathway coming in here and experiencing separation from divinity. And again, there may be cultures out there where that's not the case, not the primary case, but the majority of the Western world is that way. We come in, we experience separation from divinity, and our culture doesn't support us being divine beings. And so it gets perpetuated, and we live our lives in some degree of seeking for others' approval, which is why banishment, shame, can have so much power. And yet, it came up, and I stepped into it, and it wasn't so bad. In fact, it felt very freeing, which is another one of those things about fear and how we deal with it. When we can step up to our fear and acknowledge it and breathe into it and set that intention, I'm choosing to experience this so I can clear it. It's not acting while we're in the fear that matters. Now, sometimes in a life or death situation, save a baby, that might be the case. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the path of empowerment. And yes, sometimes fear will come up in the moment as we're stepping forward to do something. And by all means, we don't want to let a little bit of fear, the last dregs as they're coming up, to stop us from moving forward. But the most important thing to do is when it comes up, to move it. And then to take action. Then to have that response where we are choosing how we're going to deal with the situation. And so it was incredibly freeing. And again, those of you who are on my email list, not that it got sent to everybody because I was on the road, I don't have a laptop, so I was trying to send it through someone else's computer. But on Wednesday, next level of going out into the universe, although I didn't put the word demon in the email, they had me send out an email asking for more help, connecting with people, saying, you know what, I'm doing this, and I would be grateful for your help if you would be willing to send it. And that was another level of opening up and being vulnerable, because that ultimately is what this kind of fear is about. That fear that fears banishment, that fears the judgment of others, is the fear that others will perceive what we perceive as our own unworthiness. In other words, whatever we perceive that makes us not good enough, that they're going to see it and point it out. And that's why vulnerability is so scary, because it is us exposing ourselves. Well, it is not an accident. I went through word after word after word before I got the name for this program as exposing the masters within. Because that's what this is about. It is about stepping up to acknowledging that fear that when we expose what's within us, someone else is going to judge it. Because that's the fear of stepping into our mastery. At least one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is obviously that it's not true. That we're not really these masters. But if we expose ourselves, we expose ourselves to ridicule. We expose ourselves to mockery. We expose ourselves to judgment. And that is how the culture at large does things. Look at the tabloids. Look at the headlines. Look at the reality shows. Look at a lot of what's done in the name of comedy. A lot of it is mocking. It is a tool of a culture attempting to hold on to itself. And so what I would, I don't know if leave you with, and I don't feel like I completed this, so we may be talking fear again. But what I would perhaps finish up this segment with is the most important thing about fear and about changing our reality in spite of fear is that we're not here to fight with our fear either. We're not here to force ourselves to overcome it. We're here to acknowledge it and acknowledge its message that it's time to make a change. And the change is always internal first. And as we change the internal, as we change the inner landscape, as we open up to expose more of our power, more of our mastery, more of our vulnerability, even though the vulnerability is a short stepping stone on the path to power, it's by exposing ourselves in that vulnerability that we get to our power. Because that's us being willing to say, you know what, I'm worth it. I'm worth it to step into my power. You know what? What they say, if they mock me, if they judge me, that's not going to stop me from being me. And you know what? More and more, the further we go on our paths, and this has been my experience, the mocking that I fear does not come. The rejection gets less and less. Part of that's about discernment on my part, what to share with whom and when. But part of that is I'm getting more into my mastery. And so I'm not drawing what I fear to me as much. I'm not letting the fear be in charge. And so, in short, perhaps, if I can ever do anything in short, I tend to be fairly long-winded, I know. But in short, what we're seeking to do in dealing with fear is to acknowledge it and use it as a tool to consciously choose more mastery. And in that, every time we step into more mastery, we are stepping out of the chains that whatever level of culture we might want to look at would impose upon us, whether it's consumerism, whether it's the conservatives or the liberals, whether it's anything you can name. As we step into our uniqueness, our mastery, our power to choose, we free ourselves from those prisons of what other people think, which is what the fear comes down to. Since we don't live in the jungle anymore, literally, and the fear being about eaten or being killed out there by the dangers in the jungle, they've been transformed into the fears of the emotional jungle and the mental jungle. We have to think and feel and do the right things or we get banished. Well, let's banish banishment by stepping into that self-love and acceptance that is our power, that is our mastery. All right. Enough said. Tiny commercial. The next gateway activation will be Tuesday, July 3rd. And it is going to be the gateway of forgiveness. So I would invite all of you, any of you, to join in if you would so choose. I'll be putting that information out probably tomorrow through email and on the website. But let's do some channeling here to close things up. And so just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to modulate the frequencies and attune and align everybody for what we are here to receive. Hello, dear ones. This is the Mother Mary and Kuan Yin come to be with you today. Welcome, 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 and breathe deeply, dear ones, and allow yourself to open to receiving more love. Allow yourself to open to loving yourself more. And at this moment, you don't need to know what that means. It's not about thought. It is about willingness to choose. And so, step into that willingness to whatever degree. I am willing to experience more love. I am willing to love myself more. Oh, just breathe with that. Breathe with that. And now as you're doing that, we would have you, if your eyes are open, we would have you close your eyes. And we would have you focus in your heart center. Focus there. And what we would have you do is imagine that you're in the very center of your heart. And that your heart, well, it's like a dome. A dome, a geodesic dome. And you don't need to envision that exactly. Just imagine that you are on a floor and the roof curves up around you. It does not have to be geodesic. It can be just literally half a sphere. And it is all clear, like glass. In other words, you can see out of it. You can see everything around your heart as you sit within it. And in the direction you're looking, whatever direction that may be, at the horizon of the floor you are sitting on, a light begins to glow. And it is a light that is rising like a sun on that horizon. And as it rises, as it comes above the horizon, everything begins to glow with this golden, golden, golden light. And it feels wonderful. It feels quite good. And it is rising steadily, this light outside. And as it comes directly overhead, directly over the center of this dome, it begins to descend, not down the other side of the dome, but down to the very top, the very center top of this dome. And as it does so, it begins to spread so that it is moving along the dome now. It is not just in this spherical shape, but rather that clear substance like glass that marked the edge of the dome of your heart is now being filled with this golden light. It is flowing along it. It is flowing like liquid fire. And you can still see through it. It is still clear in that way, but now it is colored as well. And it is not just flowing out along that pathway. It is also coming down. It is now almost falling like rain of liquid fire. It is a very steady rain. And as it falls down, as rain would in a container, it begins to fill up the bottom, and now there is this liquid lake of fire that you are sitting in the center of, and it is not hot. In fact, it feels perfectly comfortable to you. but it is surrounding you on all sides, and it is lifting, it is filling. This rain continues to pour down fairly steadily, and it is lifting the level of this lake, this water, this golden fire that is surrounding you. And now it is coming up, coming up, coming up, coming up. It is reaching the heart level. It is reaching the throat level. It is rising very quickly. It is reaching the level of your mouth and your third eye. And you have no fear whatsoever of this. In fact, it feels most comforting, most wonderful to you. And it is now over your head, and it continues. You can look up through it. Again, it is golden, but you can see through it clearly. It is now filling completely the dome. And you are breathing it. It is coming into you in your breath, and you can swallow it as well. And it feels most, most comfortable. And you allow yourself to be wrapped in it. You're completely surrounded by it. It is inside of you as well. Now you're breathing it in. It is flowing through your blood, circulating through your entire body. It is going down all of the cells. It is entering all of the cells. Now you have a little golden glow around you, if you will. And within you. And this is the energy of your divinity nurturing you. And just let yourself be within it. Be full of it, be surrounded by it. Know that it is always surrounding you. Your heart is entirely full with this energy. But so is your entire physical body, and so is your entire energy field. For it is literally the stuff that you are made up of. But it is good to have a reminder every now and again to open to a more direct experience of it. And so we leave you with this. We leave you with this love that you are, that you open to allowing yourself experience more of. And in that opening, you allow yourself as well to share more of. And so we thank you for opening, we thank you for allowing, we thank you for experiencing, and we thank you for sharing. Much, much love, dear ones. Each and every moment, you are loved. Namaste. Okay. Well, thank you, Mother Mary and Kuan Yin, and thank you to all of you out there, and thank you to Doug, and you can start those chimes anytime you're ready. So, my friends, thank you so much for co-creating with me here today. It is my pleasure to be able to do this with you, and I literally cannot do it without you. So, by all means, please, let me know what you think. Send me your feedback, thoughts, comments, questions, suggestions for future guests, suggestions for future topics, etc. I always appreciate reading whatever you might have to say. And, I will be back same time, same place next week. I hope you have a marvelous week. You never know where this show will go. You never know where your life is going to go, because you are more and more stepping into your power, stepping into your mastery, stepping into your free will. And I thank you for choosing that every single time you do. Much love, my friends. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Namaste.